You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out
door. Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the One Country's most delicious hour. How are you doing this evening? Nice day, another beautiful day in wine country. Thanks for tuning in. We have a great show tonight. We are talking about what I think is probably my favorite holiday. It is both Halloween and El Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. We'll talk a little bit about the history of those things. But before we get started, before I introduce my guests, I would like to read a resolution recently passed by Pamela Torliat, mayor of Petaluma. It's just such a cool thing that I think it's worth reading the whole thing. So it begins. Whereas El Día de los Muertos is a memorial celebration from Latin and South America when loved ones who have died are welcomed back as honored guests between October 31st and November 2nd. Whereas the Petaluma Arts Council is the umbrella organization for a cross-cultural committee that has offered a citywide celebration of El Día de los Muertos Petaluma since 2001. Whereas the celebration of El Día de los Muertos has grown in participation, builds bridges between communities in Petaluma, and provides opportunities to remember loved ones who have died. Whereas through the arts, children remember and honor loved ones who have died. Whereas by honoring those who have gone before us and the arts and culture of Latin and South America, we acknowledge our shared humanity. Whereas through the celebration of El Día de los Muertos Petaluma, diverse communities are united in providing cultural offerings citywide. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Pamela Torliat, Mayor of Petaluma, along with the members of the Petaluma City Council, do hereby proclaim October 17th through November 3rd as El Día de los Muertos Petaluma 2009 in recognition of the cultural contributions of Latin America and South America, the human need to honor loved ones who have died, and the importance of building community to improve the quality of life for all residents in Petaluma. Congratulations. Marjorie Helm, so nice to get you moved up. What a great thing that you have done.
Whoa, it's been all of us, Michelle.
It is, but you say it was your initial impulse that started this long ago. You've pulled together so many talented people in Petaluma. It has just grown and grown. So I just initially want to acknowledge you for that initial seed out of, I know, deep grief that brought this to life. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your support all these years, because you have been one of the first folks to say, this is a cool thing.
Well, this is a really special thing for me. It's long been the holiday that's closest to my heart. And so I was, now I don't have to drive to San Francisco to celebrate it. It's right here in my own community, and it's just grown. And you've spawned, I think, the success of Petaluma has launched, you know, there's celebrations now in the town of Sonoma, in Sonoma, in Santa Rosa, the Sonoma Museum. Paula Downing is here. Welcome, Paula.
Hi.
So you're going to be talking about things going on at the farmer's market next Sunday. We'll be talking about the last month of the farmer's market in Sebastopol as well. And I should, we have Gloria McAllister, is that right? I did it right, McAllister. Thank you so much for coming as well. You're involved in the Petaluma celebration.
I am. I'm very, very happy to be involved. I'm very, very much happy to be part of this wonderful committee that Margie started. And speaking personally, being a Latina person, knowing what Day of the Dead is all about, when I heard that it was going to be introduced to the community of Petaluma, it felt good that somebody here in our community was exposing, and it was okay for me to be part of that, and then part of me, and then together we were going to talk about those that departed, and therefore continue remembering them, continue thanking them for the beautiful memories, what they left behind, what they gave us, that it wasn't, it didn't need to stay in Mexico, that it could come over mm-hmm. here. And it was a beautiful thing for everybody to benefit from it, because it is very right. It is very correct that we do appreciate and remember those that gone before us.
And I think one of the things that I think dovetails with what you're saying is in the United States, it seems to me that to a very large degree, Halloween had become commercialized, certainly. And I walked into some store last week and I was astonished, this entire huge store with things to buy for Halloween. It's become a place where people who don't want their children exposed to witches get to argue about it, and a place to spend a lot of money and all about kids. And they forget the meaning of the word. Halloween is All Hallows Eve.
Correct.
Eve implies that something's happening the next day. And it happens not just, Los Muertos, El Día de los Muertos, certainly South America and Latin America, but there are observations in Europe as well. Some people have told me about observations in Sicily. It's the Catholic Day of Remembrance, All Souls Day, and also All Saints Day. So I think one of the things that's happened, one of the great contributions of your celebration and similar celebrations, is that it's added back a dimension to Halloween that the commercialism had sort of taken away.
That's right. But I really would like to add that by doing all this exercise of remembering our departed is really appreciating and remembering that they were and are and will be part of us.
Absolutely.
And we owe them so much. We owe them just the essence that we're here. We just like our veterans, we remember them, we respect them, we appreciate what they gave us. But so are our ancestors. Mm-hmm. They are part of us, and we are part of them.
Yeah, and just because someone is departed, you don't have to quit talking about them. You don't have to put that memory away because it's too painful. You can let them be part of your lives, and then
you heal.
You heal, and you still miss them.
Correct, and that's okay.
But it's okay. And they become more a part of your life rather than just this one little thing that you want to keep in a box because it hurts too much. You let them out. And sometimes it hurts too much, but sometimes they still give you joy. The people you loved will always give you joy, whether they're here or not.
That's right. And it feels so good when so many others around us, and especially our community, because we all have just this one thing in common.
That's a good point.
Everybody. Goes through it. And we all have to pull together family members, friends, community, country, world, that the more we appreciate what we have, it's going to help us heal. Whatever, we can go through anything that life throws at us because it'll make us stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's another good point. You're making really good points. Paula, let me bring you in a little bit. Since you, I made you leave the house on Sunday evening.
I couldn't get in the door in the front. I just want to tell you that.
No, you are just perfectly on time. No worries. What's happening at the Sebastopol Farmers Market on Sunday, which is a market opens at 10, sort of gets started before that, continues till 1:30. And I know that Ballets on Atlan, at least, is going to be dancing, and they did the opening ceremonies down in Petaluma.
Next Sunday, actually, a woman named Anadina Vera, I don't know if you know her, but she teaches at El Molino, I believe. She's gathered together kids from El Molino, Annalee, Tamales High School, and Sonoma State, and I can't think of maybe a couple of the middle schools, and they're going to be on the plaza next Sunday. We're going to have altars. There's going to be music and food, so we're going to do a little celebration for the first time. Yeah. I've always wanted to, and nobody's come my way, you know, and since I don't know anything, I didn't want to take on something, you know, I wish I was completely ignorant. So
you didn't know I could be your resource on that, which is probably a good
thing. I didn't know that. So I'm really excited. I'm very happy that we're going to have a little Day of the Dead celebration in Sebastopol Farmers Market. Yeah,
it's just great. Well, let's talk about the one in Petaluma, because you kicked off on October 17th.
Correct.
And I know this Friday night, I think there was a poetry reading. Sugar Skull workshops were yesterday. So let's talk about how this event is put together, sort of the scope of it.
Well, speaking of farmers markets, we took our Sugar Skulls workshop to the farmers
in
Petaluma year for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was a blast. You know, we've done that at St. Vincent de Paul Church Hall. I think you've come a time or two with a grandson, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in a space of 2 to 3 hours, we've always had like 300, sometimes 400 kids and families come through. And this year we took it to farmers market and it was fabulous.
So well attended. To me, it looked like everybody welcomed it, enjoyed it, and saw the benefit of all this. It was just, I call it a euphoric feeling to me. I couldn't sleep that night.
So Abraham Solar, who has led that workshop for us in the past, led it again this year, and a lot of young people from Santa Rosa JC, the Puente program, came out in force and volunteered to work with the younger kids. And Gloria did paper flowers and papel picado, cut paper.
Oh, great.
It is an activity that everybody, young and old, enjoy it, from kindergarten and even younger to way up there in years. So it's an activity that really, really gets them ready. And I tell them to think about those that have departed their life, but they're still with them. They can keep them in their hearts and in their minds and in their memories because they are worth remembering.
I have a little story to tell you about that. I have this little garden area outside my back door, and there are a couple of cats buried there. And Lucas, my grandson, who's 8 now, his first real loss was his cat, Jamaica, 2 or 3 years ago now. And she was buried next to this little, there's a little wooden stand. And for many years, I've had a statue of the Virgin of Guadalupe there. And she faces forward, and she has on one of my leis from Hula. And I would go out, and I'd notice that she was turned at this angle. I think, well, that's happening. I wonder if a raccoon's getting up behind there and moving it. And I turn her back, and then a couple weeks later, I would notice that the Virgin was turned back. And this one day, Lucas was back there with me, and he saw it, and he walked over, and he turned it so that she was looking at his kitty.
Oh.
No one had ever said anything. We'd never talked about those things. He just saw her and thought she should be watching. She should be watching over Jamaica for me.
Precious.
And I just it just made me feel like that remembrance and that caring is just, it's innate.
Exactly. And I really want to point out something that most people just talk about being solely only if you have a religion or connected to a religion. It's not necessarily to that. Yeah. It's because whether you have a religion or not, or you believe in some form of God, is regardless.
It's sort of beside still, the point.
Besides the point, because you still have that pain when somebody leaves your life, your mother, your grandfather, your sister, your neighbor, your friend. It does not matter. You still mourn and you still feel that that sense, the horrible sense of loss, and that you want them and wish that they weren't gone. And you need that kind of almost like medicine to heal that pain. And I'm telling you, Dia de los Muertos is just another way, another wonderful way of little by little, you know, helping us and, you know, to mourn, to remember them, and hopefully to lessen the pain little by little.
And also, it seems you share a certain sort of communion with everyone else around you when you're celebrating this, so that it's not like the somber quality of a funeral. There's a lot of joy to the celebrations as well.
Yes, because we remember what they were like, what, you know, they were, their personalities, what they did in life professionally, as a mother, as a sister, and it's worth talking about their wonderful life. Literally, that's what it is. Because we're not happy about that they're gone. We're happy that they did,
that they
left a wonderful legacy.
And like it sounds like you're going for in Sebastopol, I'm thrilled to hear that you all are doing that observance. You go for the joy. Like following the tradition in Mexico, that if you look at any of the traditional icons from the celebration, they're bright, they're whimsical.
They're often dancing.
It's skeletons, calacas, doing in that form all the things that, that we do as human beings. So you'll see skeletons going to the dentist or, you know, skateboarding or
getting married, playing music.
And it really calls, it allows us to laugh in the face of death to accept that death is a part of life. In Petaluma, we're really going also for that bridge between cultures. So we're really looking to form a bridge between the
Latino.
And
I think that's a great benefit of just how expansive the Petaluma celebration has become. I think that's just a really, really cool element.
You know, let me just add one thing, too, that I wanted to correct. Our celebration was actually predated by the one in Santa Rosa.
Oh, really?
And Luz Navarrete is really...
I did not know that.
She's really the comadre for our celebration in Petaluma, and came down and met with our first committee.
I somehow missed that.
Yeah, in fact, the year that my son died, the November, must have been October because it was Day of the Dead. She had done an altar in the A Street Gallery in honor of her daughter, Estrella, who died, you know, 4 or 5 years before my son did. And we went and took his memorial folder and balloons from his memorial service, and his folder was already on her altar. She had been at his memorial service.
Oh, wow. And then, I think I saw those altars, but I was thinking that your event predated it.
No. We followed them the next year.
I apologize.
No, I just want to make sure credit is given.
Absolutely. It's really good to know. And remembering the history accurately is really important. And this year, when it comes to El Día de los Muertos, the best is yet to come in Petaluma. It is Mouthful. It's KRCB. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for joining in. We're talking about El Dia de los Muertos, and we're talking about events at the Sebastopol Farmers Market. There is just 5 weeks left, Paula?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, five weeks left.
5 weeks left.
Boo-hoo.
Speaking of Days of the Dead.
But one thing, I have to change the subject for just a minute. I hope you all have your pencil and paper with you. Towards the end of the show, I'll be telling you when. Do not call now. I'm not going to give you the number. But even if you do not, don't call. We're giving away two sets of tickets, I think it is, Lawrence. Is that right? Yes, two sets of tickets. It is taking place on November 5th at 7 p.m. at Osher Marin. It's a great venue. It is a talk by Alicia Silverstone, the actor who was in, not Charmed, something like that. Clueless. See, it started with a C. She will be talking on The Kind Diet, a simple guide to feeling great, losing weight, and saving the planet. So if you're interested in seeing Alicia Silverstone, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions afterwards. There will be tastings, book sales, and signings as well. When I tell you to call, I think we'll probably do it. Should we do it at the end of the show, Lawrence?
That'd be easiest for me.
Okay, so we're going to make it easy for Lawrence. We like to keep the engineer happy. So we're going to be doing it at the end of the show. So in the meantime, check your calendar, see if you're free on November 5th. It's in Marin County. The tickets will be held at Will Call for you, and we have two sets of tickets. So I'll tell you all those details when it is time for you to call. But now we're talking with Gloria McAllister, Marjorie Helm, and Paula Downing, three people doing really good work in Sonoma County. So I think maybe we're going to save the grand procession, talk about that till towards the end of the show, because that's so much the culmination. And if, unless you're coming to Lucas's Halloween party on October 30th, I really encourage you to go, especially if you've never gone before. If you've gone once, you already know you want to go again. If you've never been, if you need a little prodding to get out of the house, just do it. The giant puppets, I start to cry from the minute I see the giant puppets. There's something about the way that those giant puppets move. And it's not that they trigger a thought in my head. They just reach me somewhere in my core. And it triggers something. And then all of it from the mariachi band and all the people with candles and this papier-mâché skeleton, just all of it. It's just mesmerizing. And it's a wonderful experience to be in with other people.
It is the sorrow. It is the pain that you're holding, and it is coming out.
Well, it's just, it's amazing. Those puppets, they are just amazing. But we'll talk about all that part towards the end. I can get carried away. But Paula brought up some really good points about not necessarily understanding all the symbolism of the things that you see on Los Muertos altars, Paula, sugar skulls and that sort of thing. So what I would like us to talk about is the altar. The traditional, there are things that seems that there are, what's the right way to put it? The standard items, I'm not diminishing them by calling them standard, but marigolds, sugar skulls, certain thing, candles, mm-hmm. But then also the personal items. So let's start out with the sugar skulls. What can we talk about with that?
And we think about them as the traditional items.
Oh, okay. The traditional items and the personal.
See, yes. Okay. And then what's really fun is that people improvise from there. Mm-hmm. And Gloria has some really important information about those.
Well, those things that, excuse me, that you call traditional, obviously they are traditional to the Mexicans, the Latin America, because that's what they ate. That's what they used to cook. That's what they wore. That's the music that they listened to. Obviously, if you want an altar or about somebody here in America, it will totally look different. You know, because mm-hmm. you are, that altar represents what your deceased or your departed was like, mm-hmm. what he or she liked to eat.
And some of the really traditional items include water, because it's a very thirsty trip back from the spirit world to
so
here.
So you put water.
Put water, and you put salt, because it represents the sort of the salt of the earth, mm-hmm. the very basic things that we're all made of. Mm. We always have candles, because candles help light the way
okay.
for the spirit mm-hmm. to return. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then in addition, they're most often cempasúchil or marigolds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've paid any attention to the scent of marigolds, you'll find that they have a very pungent mm-hmm. scent.
It's almost musky, almost straw-like, mm-hmm. but nothing smells like marigolds except marigolds.
Right.
Exactly.
And the notion is that the scent is another way to help the loved one find their way home to the altar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then, and also another item that's often found on altars is called copal, which is a very traditional incense.
Okay.
And when burning, smells almost like bone being burnt.
Oh, really?
So it's another way to attract spirits mm-hmm. back to the altar. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember that this is a tradition that is pre-Hispanic. So mm-hmm. this is a tradition actually from indigenous Mexico. And it began when the indigenous people in Mexico saw the monarchs returning mm-hmm. each fall. Mm-hmm. And for them, it was the spirits returning from the spirit world. And when the Spaniards came, they overlaid the Catholic traditions.
Catholicism on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it turned into All Saints Day and All Souls Day. But mm-hmm. there's a very strong indigenous undercurrent mm-hmm. in so many parts of Mexico that still celebrate mm-hmm. a very un-Catholic mm-hmm. Approach to mm-hmm. honoring loved ones who have died.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it used to be actually in the whole month of August. And because the European invasion, they moved it to, make it fall on the All Saints Day.
But it used
to be in the whole
in
month
August.
Of August.
Interesting.
Yes. So it is so historical. There's so much information to find out. And, literally, I personally have learned so much about this tradition that I literally grew up with.
Mm-hmm. And now, where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in Mexico. Uh-huh. And so until I came to this country, I even learned even more, and I went deeper into the history of Dia de los Muertos. To us, it was very natural mm-hmm. to celebrate our ancestors are departed by doing the normal things, going to the cemetery, doing the altars and doing the traditional food and talking about them, listening to music, remembering what they liked or they were liked, and in a very beautiful way, singing, talking, crying, eating, everything. Mm-hmm. And so,
would your family spend the night in the cemetery?
You know what? That it was something that we never did. Mm-hmm. And that is actually different states in Mexico, they celebrate in a differently.
So what state are you from?
Baja, just across the border. Uh-huh. So technically, I'm very Americanized.
Because uh-huh. I guess in Oaxaca,
yes,
they do the all night in the cemetery.
It's very deeply rooted in Oaxaca. Uh-huh. They just go closer to look closer to when it started. Mm-hmm. So,
and then there's a couple of the traditional foods that you see in bakeries, that sort of thing. See, pan de muerto, bread of the dead. I think there are some others. Mm-hmm. There's, what is it? Oh, gosh, I'm not going to remember the Spanish. Tears of the Virgin. It's a red, I think it's a drink made out of maybe beetroot?
No, that's, or Jamaica? Not horchata. Is, what's that?
Or Jamaica?
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
It's hibiscus tea.
It's one of my
literally
favorite drinks.
Literally, it's hibiscus tea.
I think I read an old recipe that made it out of maybe a combination of hibiscus, but then the juice of red beets. So it really mm-hmm. colored your lips.
Yes. mm-hmm. And it's very, very cleansing and very good for you, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Hibiscus tea is delicious. Mm-hmm.
And you know that tamales are always a very central part of our celebrations in Petaluma. We always make sure that there are many, many tamales.
Yes.
And in fact, that's...
What will you be doing this year?
Well, this year we're going to be doing that in a number of different ways, but Gloria's history with our celebration dates back to her having created 2,000 tamales at one of our first opening events. It may have been even our first at City Hall. Mm-hmm. And she, with a parents group from McNair School, uh-huh. created and sold 2,000 tamales.
And could have sold more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every time I've been there, it's like, yes, there could always be more tamales.
Yeah. Right. To me, City Hall brings great memories because that was that year that all those tamales were sold. People were so happy. And then now to actually have Pamela Torliat proclaim it.
That's just
it
such
is
a great
just
thing.
Gives me goosebumps.
Yeah. Makes me very happy, too, that that's happened.
Yes.
It's really a great thing. So what kind of tamales will there be this year? The procession.
There'll be many, many different flavors of tamales. But uh-huh. also we will have Los Alambres will be there with a a full-scale menu. We have several vendors this year who are joining us.
Oh, there's going to be vendors. Oh, yes. There's more food.
Yes, we really heard people's concerns that we kept running out of tamales.
Yes, you did.
So we have vendors coming with a whole variety of wonderful, wonderful treats.
Now, is this still at St. Vincent de Paul Plaza?
No, actually, okay. we're going to start downtown at Water Street Bistro, and we're going to process to the Art Center.
Oh,
we have a fabulous exhibition at the Art Center of the art of Latino artists from both sides of the border. So we really want everyone to see that, and the Petaluma Art Center is just such a wonderful, elastic home for us that we set up in front with a stage for the folkloric dancers, for the mariachis.
Oh, great.
Two Aztec dance groups that are going to be joining us, as well as Windsor Bloco. I don't know if you guys know Windsor Bloco, but it's a drum and dance corps of young people from Windsor.
Oh.
It's just entrancing. It's really, really fun. So, and we'll also have a performance group that is doing a performance of La Llorona in Spanish and in English, spoken and music. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, it's quite an evening. Mm-hmm. We'll have booths also for folk art. And we have a mercado set up.
This is all on Friday?
Yes, the 30th. I know. I wish we could steal you away.
I know, but not a chance.
Let me mention also, if you don't mind, Michelle, that Dempsey's, which I know is a favorite place of yours.
Dempsey's Water Street Bistro. There's just such great family-owned restaurants in Petaluma.
And Dempsey's is one of my favorite places because it was one of my son's favorite places as well. They're doing a Dia de los Muertos menu on the 30th, the 31st, and I think the 1st.
Oh,
again.
Great.
I'll make sure to send you a copy of that.
I've been down there a few times, sometimes after the procession. And one thing, I'm sure that this is coincidence, but I know the first few years I went, it was really cold. And it hasn't been so cold lately. It's like, God, global warming? I like the Los Muertos procession when it's a little cooler out. Somehow needing to bundle up just as part of what I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And what we're really counting on all of your listeners to do, too, is to direct rain elsewhere this year.
Yes, I have several people working on that.
Good. Oh, good. We'll count on you.
Yes, one of the vendors at the Sebastopol Market today told me that he saw rain forecast for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's like, no.
Not accepted.
No, not this year. So I've got Lucas is working on that. I told him when he falls asleep every night, he's got to like send the rain away. But I will say that my weather widget on my Mac has no rain. So keep your finger. And, you know, Mac, you can always trust. So, Paula, did we go anywhere near towards those questions you had? Pipe, I've asked questions.
Oh, I asked about sugar skulls in particular, how they came to be, you know, created. I asked that. And then I commented that the whole thought of actually talking about people who died, actually talking about death as part of life, it seems kind of wonderful and revolutionary as a white person. I'm not permitted to talk about that in our culture. So it's wonderful that the Mexican culture can give that to us, I think.
That is so incredibly true.
Mm-hmm.
It's so deeply true and deeply troubling, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just celebrate the contribution that the culture has made in opening that up to whatever degree it has. I think it's really important. And on that note, why don't you tell us a little bit about your son?
Oh, thank you for asking, Michelle. Our son Trey was 11 and 9 years ago. It is now nine years, which is pretty amazing. Was playing in a field at a friend's birthday, right after his birthday. He had just turned 11 on October 9th. He was running in a field, and a big wind came up and blew a very large redwood branch on him as he was passing underneath. Yeah. And he was airlifted up to the trauma unit at Memorial Hospital, but was never regained consciousness. And had such severe brain damage as a result of the injury that he died pretty much 48 hours after that. Mm-hmm. We were, because it was pretty clear when he went into surgery that night that he would not survive, we were able to donate his organs.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm. and he saved lives and saved people's vision. And, uh-huh. you know, it's been pretty miraculous in that way. Uh-huh. And that has been a calling for my husband. My husband is very involved now with organ donation statewide uh-huh. and works on a statewide advisory committee. And so, yeah, so Trey was really the inspiration for this.
We grew out of this.
Yeah, and my father died a year before my son died, mm-hmm. and we had been keeping an altar at home because my father was born in Mexico, spent his early life in Mexico, uh-huh. and my son just loved the imagery.
So he already had participated in the holiday.
Oh, yes.
That's a great thing. Uh-huh.
The year before he died, I organized a field trip for his class up to the Sonoma Museum of the Visual Arts, uh-huh. and they had an incredible exhibit done by Mujeres Unidas of Sonoma County uh-huh. and of community altars and sand painting. And the kids were just entranced. Mm-hmm. My son in particular really resonated with it. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lovely full circle that Mujeres Unidas exhibits with us now in Petaluma and mm-hmm. does quite a wonderful altar and uh-huh. has an installation. I would encourage your listeners to come down to the Art Center and see our exhibit.
Yeah, we'll give all those details before the end of the show. But yeah, anytime you can get out and see the altars, they're memorable. I think every altar I've ever seen sticks with me. I remember it at different times. The ones that I saw when I went down to Galleria de la Raza, I think the first time I ever really saw some community celebrations, they were just exquisite altars there of all different kinds, traditional, contemporary, urban. They were just amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for telling us about Trey. And Gloria, I feel like I should ask you, you're so passionate about this subject. When it comes time for Los Muertos, are there special people that you're particularly honoring?
Oh, my goodness. Definitely, obviously, immediately is my mother that I lost almost 5 years ago, the day before Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And that was astronomically very, very hard, very painful, because in that year, my husband also lost his mother 6 months prior to that. In that particular year, my family, because I belong to a very large family, we lost 11 people, family members and friends, in 9 months.
Oh, my gosh.
How can one go and say, it doesn't hurt that they're gone?
That's a lot. 11 people in 9 months, that's just...
just so, so hard. Yeah. And one particular one memory that I remember, my sister, my oldest sister and I went to Disneyland. You're talking about that year that my mom passed away, mm-hmm. 2004, that August. Obviously, my mom was still alive. We were in Disneyland, and somebody was frantic looking for us, leaving a message for the two of us to call them. And our cell phone, it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So we were having fun in Disneyland. We get to the hotel very, very late. We closed Disneyland that night. And we're very, very tired. And obviously somebody kept on trying to get hold of us, left a message on the door, please call the front desk immediately. And we did. And they told us that somebody was trying to get in touch with us. And at that very moment, the phone rings, and we answer the phone. It was very, very hard. Very, like, we wanted to be with those people that were calling us because a very, very special person was in the hospital with an aneurysm. Oh. And it was, you know, it was the end for him. Mm-hmm. And this person is very responsible, along with his wife and his wife's father, that was a missionary that went to Mexico, and is actually this wonderful family, Caucasian Anglo family, that is the reason why we are in this country. We owe them so much, and that's one of very, very hard persons that I felt that it was leaving our lives, yeah. some very, very important and mm-hmm. loving people. And then from there on, it just like it was like a waterfall that they were just coming, and it was just so mm-hmm. much to grasp. So that year, that very year that we had Days of the Day, and we had Light Up a Light downtown Petaluma, a lot of our family and friends, we went and we remembered my husband's mother, my mother, and Mr. Schaefer, mm-hmm. William Schaefer, and all the other ones that left. It was uh-huh. it was the beginning of a long healing process.
Yes, that I'm sure it's still going on.
It's still very much alive.
One of the sweetest, most touching altars I've ever seen was at Mom's Head Garden. I don't know if you know Mom's Head Garden in, it's actually not far from the station in southwest Santa Rosa, Vivian Hillgrove's place. And she hasn't done it in a while. It must be 10 years ago. Actually, it might have been 2001. Might have been 2001 that she did it. She had this huge altar made of straw bales, and it was a departed animal's altar. And she advertised it, and people came from all over. They brought leashes. They brought dog dishes, mm-hmm. chew toys, all different kinds of things. I think some may have brought ashes. I went, and I made candle. I made... you know, the Mexican candles like you might see. I made my own.
Oh, wow.
And she still talks about one. I made one for Matilda, who had died a few years earlier. And I made one for Max and Annabelle, who were... Annabelle was my first black cat, and then there was Max, and they were like the Romeo and Juliet of the cat world. So I made one for them. And then I made one for Olive, who had departed so recently. And I glued her favorite kibble around the top. And Vivian still talks about it. But it was, you know, it was the process of making these commemorative candles was so good for me to do. It was so good to make these. Just, it was, that part was really healing, and it took me out of just the darker part of the grief. And it was just, and then they turned out beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so there was something. But when we went, I went and I put them there, and there were a couple of people who had so clearly recently lost an animal. I mean, they were there with pictures, and they were just sitting next to the altars sobbing. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what a great place that people have this to go to.
In mm-hmm. community.
Yeah, in yes. community. I thought it was just wonderful. And yeah. I'm hoping that at some point her life is such that, Vivian's life is such that maybe she'll think about doing it again.
Yeah. I was able to go to her altar, I think, a couple of years subsequent uh-huh. to that. And one of the interesting things about Vivian is that she's been part of one of the films that's kind of a keynote for our celebration. It's called La Ofrenda, Days of the Dead.
Oh, I don't know about this film.
Oh, if I have a copy of it that I'd be happy to loan you.
Oh, wonderful.
Lourdes Portillo is the filmmaker from San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And Vivian did the sound.
She did, yeah. She's an amazing editor.
And it's an incredible film. Uh-huh. Just what it does is it really, really, from Lourdes' perspective, shows Day of the Dead in Oaxaca and how it's translated into San Francisco.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. I used to search for movies, watch Under the Volcano, just to get to the part about the celebration. Lawrence, do you have another short mariachi song for us? Okay, let's hear it. It is Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. My delicious tradition with this holiday is, if you read my column in the Press Democrat, you know it is pozole. Pozole, pozole. I mean, fall is just pozole. You know, the light starts to change, and it's like, okay, I got to start. I've already made my first big pot of pozole verde. Haven't decided if I'm going to make verde or rojo for this weekend, but that just became, I don't know, it just sort of happened. And I also think of tamales. I have to confess, I don't make tamales as often as I used to, but I'm going to one of these days. But back to, you wanted to say something, Gloria, about the sugar skulls?
Yes, I wanted to answer
Paula's
question in regards to the sugar skulls. The way that I was told growing up with my grandparents that the skull represented the person that is departed and obviously is no longer with us. And the way and the reason why they were made out of sugar is because their memories are sweet.
I would have guessed that. I thought maybe it just has to do with the sweetness.
I love to say that because mm-hmm. when I heard it from my grandparents, it was like, oh, yes, their memories, or at least what I remember out of those people that mm-hmm. passed away in my life, they were so sweet. Mm-hmm. And when I say it to especially people that don't know what De La Dead is, and they keep on asking questions about this, what about this, what about that, and one of the questions that keeps on coming out is, why the white skulls? Why are they made out of sugar? And when I finish my explanation, it's just like this, how sweet.
Yeah, it is.
Yes,
it's very sweet.
It is sweet.
I knew this hour was going to fly by, and it has. So before we finish up, Paula, we've got five or four?
It's,
depends
I'm not
on
sure.
how many
no,
how many Saturdays are there
I think
in November.
There might be four. Yeah. Might be 4 weeks left.
So November.
No, there's five.
Okay,
you're right.
November 1st. There's going to be the Los Muertos celebration mm-hmm. in Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. And do we have? I know there's going to be one day a turkey giveaway.
We always give away a locally 4-H raised organic turkey, mm-hmm. and so that we'll give that away the Sunday before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. but. The way we do it is we do it in the form of a raffle, and starting next week, the first Sunday in November, everything you buy, you get a raffle ticket and you can enter it into the, so for the next 3 weeks, you know, you can just be putting raffle tickets in there and maybe you'll win an organic locally raised turkey with all the stuff that goes with it, pies, squash, everything that goes with it, yeah.
Cool.
So that's
you know, if you think, oh, I don't need that, I'm not going to do it, you can always put the name of someone else
right.
who you know needs it.
I've had that. People give it to somebody that knows won't have Thanksgiving.
Yeah. What a wonderful surprise for
uh-huh.
someone.
Yeah, yeah, it's really sweet. It's really sweet. I've delivered them myself actually, and
you
it's
do?
Very heartwarming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And then the last week.
We have a crafts fair usually the last week, okay. and I try to invite, you know, a variety of people, local people who do crafts uh-huh. to come.
There were a lot there today.
Hmm?
There were a lot of local crafts
people.
There
were a lot of local crafts people today. Yeah. I overbook, and then sometimes people don't cancel, and today was one of those days.
Oh, that's what it was.
Everybody showed up.
I wondered if it was
a special crammed and jammed in there.
Everybody except no Aisha today.
No Aisha. Yeah.
Yes. Aisha, the Princess Aisha, who sells the fabulous shea butter.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Who's really one of the more wonderful people that you
ever will meet. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's magic.
Yeah.
She's one of those people you talk to her for 30 uh-huh. seconds or uh-huh. 15 seconds and uh-huh. you just feel that if she's African, if she was Hawaiian, you would say you could just feel the aloha uh-huh. coming from her.
Uh-huh.
And it's the same sort of thing. She just radiates mm-hmm. the most human warmth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Paula, thank you for driving down here.
You're
it's
welcome.
Really great. I really appreciate
it. It was nice. I'm glad I came.
Good.
I
good.
Learned a lot of things that I didn't know.
And Marjorie Helm, Gloria McAllister, The Procession. It starts at Water Street Bistro.
Right.
Which is there sort of at the foot of Western, right on the bridge across from Dempsey's.
Right. The address for the gathering point is 100 Petaluma Boulevard North. So it's on the Water Street side of Petaluma Boulevard. We'll gather at 6 mm-hmm. and have a little bit of an opening and then begin the procession with the mariachis and two Aztec dance groups, folkloric dancers, and the ever wonderful Windsor Bloco.
And the giant puppets.
And we have many, many more giant puppets this year.
Oh, really?
People have been hard at work creating those. There's been a class at the Petaluma Arts Center to create giant puppets. We'll have to have you come to that next year.
Yes.
Kat Lilith, who is the former director of our procession, has been teaching that class.
Oh, I would love to learn to make giant puppets.
And we'll go to the art center.
But it's, what, about a 10-minute walk?
Well, it is a 10-minute walk, if that. But with as
You'll
many
go a
people,
little slower.
Yes, we go pretty slow. Mm-hmm. Then we're anticipating 700, 800 people to join us. And we'll go to the art center, which is at 230 Lakeville. So it's Lakeville at East Washington Boulevard. Uh-huh. We'll have a Mercado set up, a stage. All kinds of goings on will happen there.
And then how late does it go?
It'll go till 9:30, something
starts
around
starts at
there.
6, yeah. 9:30.
Yes.
Okay. And then are there more of it on 31st, 1st, and 2nd?
Yes. The 31st in particular, we'll have a bilingual story time, preschool story time at the Petaluma Library. That'll be from, what time does it start? 11 o'clock.
Okay. Well, you know, we should, since we're running out of time, we should tell people, isn't this all on a website?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, let's tell people how to get there.
It's www.petalumaartscouncil.org. Or if you're on Facebook, you can go to our fans page.
That's right.
Which is,
I'm a fan.
I love that you are.
And you can become a fan. You can become a fan of Mouthful as well.
Right. I've done that.
You have.
Too. So our fan page is El Didelos Muertos Petaluma 2009. Uh-huh. Please join us for updates.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. And now, if you've been waiting for me to tell you to call for these tickets. But seriously, Gloria McAllister, Marjorie Helm, Paula Downing, thank you so much. This was a really special show for me. I love the subject. I could talk about the subject, you know, every day for a year. So I really
thank
appreciate
you for having
it.
Us.
Now, if you would like to attend Alicia Silverstone talking about the Kind Diet at Osher Marin, November 5th at 7 p.m., we will take the first two callers. There are two sets of tickets, so if you call, you get two. The number to call, 584-2020. If you would like those tickets, 584-2020. Have a great week. Have a great Halloween. Have a wonderful El Dia de los Muertos observation and meet me back here. I may be on the air November 1st. Somebody will be here talking about mouthful things. So meet me back here then on the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes. Dinner, 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 dinner,